Let's pray a moment. Father, we thank Thee for this time when we may open Your holy word and seek Your face and plead Your voice to our hearts. Lord, we thank Thee that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the very marrow and the joints, discerning the very thoughts and intent of the heart. O God, we come under the light and scrutiny of Your word and ask that our hearts will be ready to receive good seed, as in good ground, that we will receive that word mingled with faith. Lord, we thank Thee that faith is the gift of God, and we pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us full of faith, to rejoice in all that the Father speaks to us, and that we will be blessed thereby. Speak to every heart, minister to every soul, in our Savior's name, amen. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 again, please, and verses 6, 7. And I have a text here that is really a very good and a wonderful harvest text, a text that every gardener and every farmer should rejoice in. And I think everyone that has ever been gardening or farming knows the one thing that you really need if you're going to accomplish anything is good seed. And too often the year goes by and we have to lament, boy, that was bad seed. Seed that didn't grow well, seed that didn't turn out the way we expected. Sometimes seed doesn't germinate. There's no life in it. And no matter how much you water and fertilizer and do all of that, well, it just doesn't come to anything. And then you get seed that's mixed with other seeds, sometimes even weeds, and you spend all your time growing the very thing that you don't want. Like the farmer in Matthew 13, when he went out one day and he saw the tares growing in his field, and he asked his servants, did we sow tares in this field? How come? What do we do that for? And of course, it created a major problem. And those tares were in the field, right, growing onto till the harvest time when they would be bundled. So it was a waste. It was a torment. It was a great disappointment. And I'm sure the farmer was hurt that all the energy and effort had been spent in it, and it all came to growing tares. Now, in our text, you'll notice in Galatians 9 that it says, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. We are to make proper use of our lives as sowers of seed. And if we sow the wrong thing, if we sow evil, if we sow to the flesh, to the world, and to our own selfish pride, then we are guilty of mocking God. And you'll notice the logic in that text that it says, verse 7, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now this, of course, is the inflexible law of the land. What you sow is what you reap. You don't get anything different from what you actually put into the ground and allow it to germinate and grow. Wheat seeds will only bring more wheat. Oat seeds will only bring more oats. Barley seeds will only bring more barley. Potato seeds will only bring forth the harvest of potatoes. That's the law of the natural harvest. What a man sows, that he will reap. Well, the Bible lifts that earthly principle right into the heavenly and the spiritual, and it says, what you sow in your life in this world, you will reap the same in the harvest, the world to come beyond the grave. And so this is a great warning. Now, that God is not mocked or will not be mocked means that no matter how much you deny this, no matter how much you try to run away from this, it's still true. It's going to remain. It's going to remain the same. And so there is the warning given in verse 7, be not deceived. No matter what others are saying, no matter what the world is saying, no matter what you might think sometimes, no matter what you say would be so just easy to forget about that, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And this warning is given because of those deceits where men fool themselves into thinking that no matter how they live, no matter what they say and how they pay and how they play the game of life, that they'll never have a harvest, it'll never come back, the rewards of that life will never be seen. That is a deceit. That is an error, and it blinds, and it leads people to do things with seeming impunity, freedom, not a twinge of conscience, not a thought of doing wrong, but one day they're going to reap what they sow. And we learn here that there is good and evil in the world. What we sow in this life is either good or evil, and we will reap that very good or evil in the harvest to come. And so out of our lives today that we are sowing daily, our thoughts, words, actions, decisions, we are going to give account, and there's going to be a harvest of reckoning. Now, this is the sound teaching of the Apostle Paul. This is biblical truth. It's the law of the world in which we live. And it's the same law in the world where we're going to go. The harvest. Eternity. You'll notice at the end of verse 8, it talks about, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so the same law applies, but it's taken into the world of everlasting life. And so this causes us to take stock of our own lives, that we are not mocking God, that we are not deceived by the thinking of the world and of our own hearts, but rather that we realize that every day what we're doing, that we are not sowing to the flesh, but rather sowing to the Spirit. You see that in verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so I hope that the power of this text will impact upon your heart today, that you will begin to recognize that you've got to take stock of this and agree that this is the law of sowing and reaping. I trust that you might be a Christian. You may already have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and therefore, as you focus on living for Jesus, you are sowing to the Spirit. But if you are not a Christian, and you are saying, I just want to sow and live my own way, then you're sowing to the flesh. And what is said about that? Look at the text. For he that soweth to his flesh, that's verse 8, shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now that hit me with fresh power this morning as I read and prayed about this. And I went to my concordance and I looked up that word corruption, and it's synonymous with destruction, ruin, to be cast away. Just like those tares when they were bundled up in the field at harvest time, ready to be burned. What an awful fate. What an awful fate. So as we look at this and take stock, let's firstly see this. God's moral law is fixed. To suggest otherwise is to mock God. It is to reduce the world to chance, and everything runs without a purpose in this world. Do what you like, doesn't matter. God then would not be the creator, and God would not be in control of all the affairs of this world, and all of his creatures just are doing their own thing. Those who are sowing to the flesh, that's what they want to do. But that would mock God. That would say God is dead. Or God is a deist. He just keeps his hands off, and he doesn't take any part in this world at all. But we know that the world is bigger and more complex than just it running on its own. Now we come back to the fact that seeds produce their own variety or type of seeds. So oats, you get oats. So wheat, you get wheat. Plant rice, you get rice. That is unchangeable because of the laws of nature. And to proceed with life without that fixed moral law, that if you sow sin, you're going to reap sin. If you sow anti-God, you're going to be without God. And this is unchangeable. So what is sowing to the flesh? Let's deal with that for a moment here. You'll see that in the text. For he that soweth to his flesh. Now, if you're not familiar with the Bible or Bible interpretation, you might be questioning, what does that statement mean? For he that soweth to his flesh. What does that mean? Well, I think it means this. It means to rule God out of the equation of life. It's to say either God is not there or God does not care. That's to sow to the flesh. And it's ignorance of God's will and ignorance of God's commandments. God hasn't told me what's right or wrong. God hasn't told me something's good or evil. That doesn't. You don't even factor that in. So you sow to your flesh. It's also to deny the warnings of the Bible. Now, if you were a farmer sowing seeds, and while denying that there's going to be a harvest day, you would be a fool. You would be a fool to order the seed, pay the bill for the seed, plow the land, have it tilled, have the seed sown in its rows methodically, apply the fertilizer, all the work, all the expense of planting the seeds, and all the while saying, well, there is no harvest. There's going to be no harvest. You'd be a fool. And you know, in Proverbs 14, it says that the fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. That there's no God there controlling the world. It is to, sowing in the flesh is to resist your conscience. It's to stifle that little preacher in your heart that speaks good or evil. Some men drown their conscience and fight against God by saying, there's nothing wrong with what I'm sowing. And they consider life a short-term thing with no harvest, no reaping, no judgment, no consequences. It is to follow the adage, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Anyone's thinking like that is just sowing to the flesh. But God's moral law is fixed. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I want you to take note of that. And I don't want you to be sowing to the flesh and then one day to face the judgment to give account for an evil life, for all the sins and all the the wrong that you've done because you've been deceived. Now, secondly, our eternal reaping will truly reflect our earthly sowing. Now, I drew attention already. I probably went away ahead of myself in verse 8 where it talks about that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that's the part of the text that takes us out of the field, out of the physical seed and the earthly harvest, and it takes us into the heavenly, to life beyond the grave, to the other world where every one of us will go. And it speaks here of reaping life everlasting. That's the harvest. It is the after effects of all the sowing that you do in this world. And the thing to note that there is a definite correlation between what you sow now, today, and tomorrow with what you're going to reap in that other world in the harvest day. There is an eternity. And just as on earth wheat will bring forth wheat, so good will be rewarded. And just as sowing tares will bring forth tares, so sins will be rewarded. Let me put it this way. I'm trying to dig out the essence of this whole concept. Evil sowing will bring forth evil reaping. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap the rewards of the flesh, and it will have God-denying results. Now, you might say, give me an example. Let's get a little concrete about this and get our teeth into this. Well, example number one, for those people who say no God now, in eternity they will have no God there. God will cast them out. They will be separated from God. Those who do not want God in their lives on earth, and they sow to the flesh in that way, in eternity, they will not have God. They will be abandoned. They will be in that place of outer darkness, in that place where God hath shut them out from His presence. That, of course, is what hell is, what eternal punishment is. It is to be in that place where there is no God. Also, for those who sow to the flesh in this way, that they say in this world there is no good here on earth, good versus evil, that is, then in that other world, in that harvest day, they will receive no good, no rewards of good. Because they've said all their lives, there is no good and evil. Doesn't matter whether you work hard and earn your money or rob a bank. Doesn't matter if you are the husband of one wife and are a faithful husband, or whether you are a profligate. Whether you sin in the flesh in any way and live like as you please, without a thought of that day, then on that eternal day, there will be no good. You will never hear the words, come thou blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom and the joy of the Lord. You'll never hear those words. Because all the while you have said that there's no good. And if there's no good, there's no rewards for those good. Then another way in which people sow to the flesh, in that they say there is no gospel. That there is no salvation, no Savior, no redemption. And of course those who say that, they say, I'm good enough. I don't need a Savior. I don't believe in all this talk about sin and its curse and God's wrath and God's anger upon sinners. I don't need the gospel. they don't believe in good news nor receive that good news. They are like the stony ground that rejects the word. And so, on that other world, what are they going to reap? In glory, in eternity, what are they going to reap? Well, because they said on earth that they needed no cleansing from sin. Do you know what the Bible says? Let him that is filthy be filthy still. And so out in eternity, the sinner without a Savior, without the cleansing of the blood, will remain polluted, corrupted, on and on and on into the eons of eternity. They will never be clean, never be washed, never be brought back to the place where they can live with God. And that's why it is eternal punishment. There is no cleansing in eternity. And so I don't believe in purgatory, and the Bible doesn't even mention purgatory. It is the con man's job of religion. No, as you sow, you reap. And if you sow that I don't need a Savior, I don't need the cleansing of Jesus' blood, then on that eternal day you will go on and on and on without cleansing. There is no purging from sin. Now, evil sowing leads to evil reaping then. But good sowing leads to good reaping. And that's where we have good news. That's where we bring in the wonder of the gospel. There's a great text in John 12:24 which says, as the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, and then brings forth a harvest, so the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, will come under death, rise again, and he will bring forth a wonderful harvest. Let's go to that verse. Now, I've been obviously paraphrasing that, but I want you to nail this text down because it's so powerful. John 12 and the verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me where I am, and there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so we have this powerful example. And of course, Christ is that one who died, was buried, rose again, and out of his life comes wonderful, wonderful reaping. Because Christ's life was sinless. He was the good sower and the good seed. There was no corruption in him, but rather perfection. He also perfectly obeyed the Father. Everything that was the will of the Father, the Lord rejoiced in and did it perfectly. He also brought about redemption by laying down his life. And out of his death has come for his people eternal life. So out of the perfect life and death of the Lord Jesus, out of the spotless Son of God, comes forth this harvest of blessing, the salvation of his people. And it's a sure harvest. It's a certain harvest. We're told in Isaiah 53, he shall see his seed. Have you ever meditated on that text, Isaiah 53:12? He shall see his seed and be satisfied. That means that those for whom Christ died as a corn of wheat, and for whom he rose again in resurrection, he's going to bring every one of his people in a wonderful gospel harvest out of this world safely into glory, into the mansions of heaven. And so it is the good news of the gospel. Now, gospel preaching is not about you do good and you'll get to heaven, because the Bible tells us none of us have done good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have kept the law, Ten Commandments, perfectly. None of us have loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength every day, every hour of our lives. No, we are short. We are guilty sinners. And our only hope is to be united to the Lord Jesus, who lived perfectly, who died in atonement, who has purchased redemption. And by faith in him, we are a part of that wonderful harvest of the redeemed. Now, are you today in Christ? As I say again, this is not to preach do better, do more, work harder, clean up your life, turn over a new page, make some more vows of resolution, but rather, come to the Savior. And he sowed the seed of gospel good news to save his people, and he will save you. He will bring you right into glory. Now, final point. We'll get to the end of this soon. This fixed moral law must not be ignored. Be not deceived. There are a number of people who sadly ignored this principle. Herod, he mocked God. He took the worship and the cries of the people who said, he's a God, he's a God. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord smote him, that he died of worms, we are told. Now, men in the days of Noah mocked God, because they were warned that you're sowing to the flesh. You're sowing some of the most horrible sins, the depravity of their hearts. They were sowing the seeds of wickedness. And Noah preached righteousness, and they mocked God. And they were deceived, thinking that they could get away with it. But God judged the world. And then you have that example of Sodom and Gomorrah, who lived in defiance of God's moral law and thought they could get away with it. But God poured out fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, those wicked cities. He wiped them off the face of the earth. They were gone, totally gone. Peter warns that this world is going to be burned up by fire. It will be a fiery furnace one day. And you need to be saved from the wrath of God that's coming. And you need to be in Christ as your Savior, to be redeemed by his blood, so that you will be part of that good harvest, safe home with the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul warned of that in many ways. If you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it's just a whole chapter of how those events unfold. It's something that is true. And if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap a terrible harvest. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap everlasting life. That's the law of God. And so take heed to this warning. How much better to be sowing to the Spirit? how much better to be living for the Lord Jesus. What you sow today, you reap in eternity. And you will reap for all eternity. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Is that how you're living? Is that your life's goal? Is that how you're sowing? That everything you're doing, the decisions of your life, the goals that you're setting, are all about living for Christ and being with Him in glory, which is far better. That's the essence of this great text. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Take it to heart today. I press it on the heart of Christians. I press it on the heart of those who maybe are members of this church. Give yourself to living for Christ. Sowing to the Spirit. Don't go back to the world. And I press this upon anyone here who's not a Christian. You're outside of the Savior. You're still sowing to the flesh. You're living in the realm of being a sinner without a Savior. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Take this to heart today. Now, if I can help you in your need of the Savior, and of your need to be saved, if somehow or other you are not born again, you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, and you know today you need to stop sowing to the flesh and start living for Christ, then come. Speak with me after the service. You can remain in your seat a while, and I'll be happy to come and talk to you. And we can read the Bible, pray about it. But you need to be saved. Be not deceived. And you've heard it from this pulpit today, on this Thanksgiving Sunday. You have been warned. But I pray that you'll take it to heart and receive the seed of the gospel. Don't spit it out. Don't allow the devil to come and steal it away. But come today as to be saved. And may the Lord be gracious and shine into your heart.